Today is the second part of the study on Samson. We're actually in the book of Hebrews, where it refers to these great men and women of faith. And in Hebrews 11:32, it mentions Samson. So last week we began the study of Samson. Samson was a man greatly gifted in strength, physical strength. Samson has not received the gift of God, his great strength. He has not received it with humility, but he is rather prideful and arrogant about his strength. He goes off, he marries a Philistine. His parents object, saying, aren't there any local girls that you could choose? But his best man ends up receiving his wife of the Philistines. But we will pick it up in Judges chapter 15. So turn with me to Judges, and that's where we'll be this morning as we study Samson. Judges 15, verses 1. After a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistine if I harm them. Samson is starting to awaken to his own foolishness. That can be a moment that we all do not necessarily approve of, but we can all realize at times how foolish we've been. But it says there in verse 3, this time I shall be blameless if I harm the Philistines. Is Samson feeling guilty for his rash behavior? Perhaps. Now he's trying to justify his foolish actions. But Samson, he is not through with his revenge upon the Philistines. So let's read further in Judges 15, verse 4 through 11. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines. And he burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up, burned her and her fathers with fire. Samson said to them, Since you would do such a thing, let this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And when he had come down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock at Edom, now the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock at Edom and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. First off, Samson goes out and catches 300 foxes. I have one question. How? How in the world do you capture 300 foxes? Every now and again, we live out in a country and we get a critter that needs to be captured. And I set out all kind of wire traps and so forth, and I catch them sometimes. But to catch one animal can be a feat. How in the world does he capture 300 foxes? But he does. And he ties them tail to tail, and he puts a torch, a lit torch, in their tails, and he drives the foxes through the grain fields of the Philistines. Well, they don't stop with the grain fields. The foxes, they run into the vineyards and the olive groves, and they burn up the vineyard and the olive groves also. So Samson is burning the crops of the ruling Philistines that are over Israel. The Philistines, they react by burning Samson's wife's house along with her father's house. And they burn them completely down. Again, Samson, in his anger, attacks the Philistines with a great slaughter. And Samson now hides out in the rocks in the wilderness of Edom. And the Philistines, they come against Judah and say, hey, control this Samson guy. Judah, the tribes of Judah, arrest Samson on their own. They go out and they take him on their own. They tie him up and give him over to the Philistines. So let's pick up in verse 12. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hands of the Philistine. Then Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hands, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax and that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. Then he came, became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given me this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? So God split the hollow of that place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called the name of the place in Hakor, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. The Philistines, they come, they attack, and carry off Samson, only to see Samson break free. Now Samson, he finds the jawbone of a donkey, and he kills 1,000 Philistines with this jawbone of a donkey. And there in Lehi, Samson judged Israel for 20 years. So there was a period of time where Samson is at peace with his nation and with God. 20 years he judges Israel. Time goes by, however, and Samson, after calming down, after learning to be patient and to be obedient to God, well, he stirs up his soul again. So let's read Judges 16, 1 through 3. Now Samson went to Gaza, and he saw a harlot there, and he went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson had come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulder and carried them to a top of a hill that faces Hebron. Samson tears down the gates of the Gazites by hand. And he carries the gates of the city, which was obviously very heavy, very big, off to Hebron, which is miles away. But once again, we find Samson caught up in lust. He goes in to a harlot. Okay. And he will now turn to Delilah. We always hear Samson and Delilah. Well, we're going to read about Delilah here. And that's in verse 4 through 22. Afterwards, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistine came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what may you be bound to afflict you?" That should have been a warning to Samson. And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in her room, and she said to them, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire, so the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes, bound him with them, and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men who were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave 7 locks of my head into a web of loom." So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep, pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, "How can you say you love me when your heart is not with me?" A little one-sided there, but anyway. "You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Then he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lord of the Philistines came up and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees, called for a man to have him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson, So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times, shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. When we read this, when I read this Delilah passage, I wonder, how can Samson be so stupid? Why can't Samson see this conniving and spiteful Delilah is against him? Open your eyes, Samson. But Samson, with each lie that he tells Delilah, he draws closer to the truth. His strength is a mystery that is too great for him. This gifting of God is too much for him to handle in a humble way. Samson, he toys, he plays with the secret of his strength. Even after Delilah tries three times to deceive him, not once, not twice, three times, you want to say to Samson, wake up, realize what's going on here. But Samson is set on a course of destruction. He's totally undisciplined and disobedient to the Nazarite vow that his mother and he were under. And that's not to mention he's being completely dumb, okay? Delilah, she will become very rich because of her betrayal of Samson. She receives 1,100 pieces of silver. That's her reward. Now, 30 pieces of silver was the price you could buy a slave at. So she's really, in that day and age, she becomes a millionaire by her deception. And this 1,100 pieces of silver brings her great wealth. But Delilah's name should have been a warning to Samson. For her name means to weaken or to impoverish. Hey, I want you to meet my daughter. She will weaken you and impoverish you. Oh, okay. And the first approach by Delilah is in verse 6. Tell me where your great strength lies. How can you be bound so that we can afflict you? You just wonder what's going on in Samson's mind. She's just exposed her motives to Samson, and yet he still toys with it. Second approach. If I'm bound with new ropes, then I shall be weak. And that's another lie by Samson. But then the third approach. Quit mocking me, Samson. Tell me how we can nullify your strength, because we want to destroy you. Samson, now he gets up close and personal to where his strength lies. He said, my hair, being a Nazarite, was a vow to God. And I'm strong because of God's blessing upon me as a Nazarite. And Samson yields to Delilah's request. Shave my head and my strength will leave me. Now, Samson, again, he's just incredibly naive, if not dumb. But does he wonder? What's going on in Samson's head? Does he wonder if his strength really, because of God's blessings upon him, because of his Nazarite vow, or is he just strong when he desires to be strong? Well, is he thinking God will strengthen me regardless? Well, we'll know soon enough. Delilah, along with the lords of the Philistines, shave Samson's head. Shave his make him bald like me. Delilah torments Samson as before. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But Samson, to his own ignorance, his strength has left him. The Philistines take Samson, they pluck out his eyes, and they take him down to Gaza. And they bind him with bronze feathers, shackles, and Samson is blind now and betrayed. And he realizes he has been a fool. Notice verse 22. Samson's hair begins to grow. Recovery is on its way. But look at Samson. He's not the man he once was. And look what he must endure for not honoring God's gifting upon his life. So let's read verses 23 through 31 of chapter 16. It tells the story. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars with the which support the temple so that I may lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistine were there, about 3,000 men and women, on the roof, watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords of all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. And his brothers and his father's household came and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Samson has been reduced from this man of God, man of strength, into an item of entertainment for the Philistines. They have Samson perform for them. What does Samson do? How does he perform? Does he do a little dance, you know? He's blind. He's imprisoned. And yet he performs for the Philistines. They're having a celebration, the Philistines are. And they're saying, "Our God Dagon has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." And when the Philistines saw how defeated Samson was, they gave praise to Dagon, their god. Now, Dagon was a borrowed god of the Philistines from the Assyrians. What do you know about the Assyrians? Well, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians. Remember Jonah fleeing away from God? Not wanting to go to Nineveh, what happened to him? He was swallowed by a great fish. Dagon is the god of the Philistines. And the collapse, the moral collapse of Samson, his turning away because he played with sin. His moral breakdown gives the Philistines opportunity to praise their pagan god, Dagon. Look behind the scenes a little bit here. It appears Satan has won the battle here. One of Satan's great desires is to receive praise that is due to God. He desires praise be given to him. When you read in Isaiah about Satan rising up, wanting that praise, I will ascend to the heavens and so forth. He is wanting to be worshiped and praised instead of the true and living God. And many people that get caught in sin worship Satan in ignorance. No, they don't necessarily openly worship Satan, but they're a slave to Satan and a slave to sin. Sin enslaves. There is, whether we realize it or not, a spiritual battle that goes on for every human being in this world. Satan works overtime. He works feverishly to keep people from turning to Jesus for salvation. And when that battle is lost, but when some turn to Jesus, Satan's next desire is to keep all people, saints and sinners, bound in sin. If Satan can bind you in sin, keep you from believing, he's happy. But if he can't do that, he will try to keep each and every born-again person ineffective against his kingdom, keep us stymied by sin, where you will be no threat against him and his kingdom. But Satan has a blind spot. He does not understand God's grace. God is not through with Samson. And in verse 28, Samson cries out to God, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just once more, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on these Philistines for my own two eyes." Now, Samson has been the fool. But God is not like me or you. And we would probably say to Samson, "Hey, Samson, how could you have been so dumb? How could you have been so lifted up in pride, so arrogant?" We would say, I would say that to Samson. But God hears Samson when he cries out to him. God hears Samson pray, and God gives Samson one more time of strength for his own causes. When we read chapter 15 at the beginning, it said God looked for a reason to come against the Philistines, and he uses Samson regardless of Samson's character. But Samson is obedient to God in this final act of vengeance, and he kills over 3,000 Philistines there in that temple that they're celebrating in. And that's more than he killed during his entire life. And Samson, in all of his folly, God permits him to accomplish one last act of obedience to God. But how is Samson remembered? A life of folly. But his final prayer of humility before God is rewarded. So how do we relate? How does that affect us? It's a tragic event when we see a life that has been dedicated to sin, and now it's over. We see someone who lived totally for the flesh, and they die, and we think, what a waste. As a pastor, sometimes I'm called upon to do funerals. It's so much easier to do the funeral of a saint than a sinner, because we get to give hope. Hope that you can be saved. Hope that if you believe, you do not have to just face the grave and death and eventually hell, but you have an opportunity to go and be with the living God. So it matters what we believe. It matters how we live with the gifting of God. And we're all gifted. Each and every believer is gifted by God. Know your gift, walk in your gift. Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Let me get you to stand. Father God, thank you, first of all, for your gifting. Thank you, Lord, that you give each and every life an opportunity to have meaning. Lord, we have meaning as believers. We have a higher call on our life than to just live for our selfish ambitions or whatever. You've called us to yourself, Lord. Life is not always so pleasant for us. We go through trials, we go through tribulation. But Lord, when it's said and done, we can say it has been well to live a Christian life. It has been well for my soul. So Lord, may we look at the big picture. May we look at eternity and realize what a blessing it is to call you Lord and Savior and to live a life after you. Help us to walk in the gifting that you have given us. And thank you for examples like Samson, Lord, that make us see the foolishness of pride and arrogance. And Lord, we can turn from that and turn to you who give us meaning. So help us to reconcile our life before you, Lord. If we need to repent, cause us to repent. But Lord, cause us to be fruitful in your kingdom. We pray for this, Lord, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.